The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Well, our next guest is really, truly one of our favorite guests. We just love having this lady on. And I think it's really important right now because so much is going on and we need a little clearer understanding of how all this fits together and what we might expect from the Federal Reserve later on this week. So we have asked Dr. Nayantara Hensel to be with us, and she's kindly agreed. She is professor of industry and business at the Industrial College of the Armed Forces. She previously served as chief economist for the Department of Navy, where she provided economic guidance on the defense industrial base, which is quite large, the financial health of contractors, commodities, strategic materials, the federal budget, interest rates, unemployment, exchange rates, inflation. Oh, my gosh, she had to look at everything. And so because of that, she is, I think, an expert on everything, and she's just my favorite economist. So I'm just too excited to have her on. Good morning, good morning, Dr. Hensel.
Well, good morning, Michael. That is a wonderful thing to say, and I always love being on your show because you have so many great things to say.
Thanks. Well, I just get so excited that you're on this morning. I'm not doing well on the introduction, so I apologize. So how are you? It's been a long time since we've spoken to you. Are you doing fine, I hope?
Oh, absolutely. I certainly am, and certainly the exciting developments in the economy has definitely kept me interested and invigorated.
Isn't that true? I don't actually know where to go, but since one of the things that you had to look at in your role as chief economist for the Department of the Navy was commodities, I assume one of the big commodities had to be oil. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, oil is selling off big today. It looks like, and in fact, let me kind of preface this, because I had a meeting yesterday with several executives here in town. It was interesting to hear four of them are in the oil industry in one form or the other, where oil has a big impact on their business. And basically it got down to this. One of them felt like the oil prices are going down because the Saudis were manipulating the oil prices in order to put the shale oil people out of business and kind of cool down the American oil industry. Another one thought that it was Washington, D.C., using this as a lever against Putin, and that they would continue to let oil drift down because they couldn't confront him in Ukraine in a military fashion. So between the sanctions and dropping oil prices, they were doing as much damage as they possibly could to him without using the military. Do you have any of this make sense, or is this just conjecture on the part of the general public?
I think that there's certainly a lot of possibilities for why we've seen the oil prices drop by, you know, over 50%. And I think some of it is due to this oil supply glut. I mean, we do have a lot of drilling in the U.S. Oil demand has been weaker. We've seen slowdowns in growth in, you know, places like China. We've seen up and down in the supply from Libya and Venezuela. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of different factors that have been behind the oil price drop, but I don't think that it's going to be dropping substantively below, say, $45, although I think that this drop will be sustained at a more stable level, you know, in this range into 2015. I think that certainly we've already seen a decline in drilling permits, you know, by like 36% already. I think that we're going to see exits of some of the smaller oil companies. I think this is going to result in a lack of exploration. I think there'll also be even less demand for energy efficiency. But I think this oil price drop, certainly in the States, may lead to, you know, increases in consumer spending. That's two-thirds of our economy. I think that it's going to lead to, obviously, downward pressure on inflation. I think that also, obviously, the big concern I've got, particularly right now, is how this can lead to the potential collapse of the Russian economy. With this sharp drop in the ruble and greater inflationary pressures, with the fact that Russia actually exports, about 70% of its exports are in oil and gas. And, you know, I'm very concerned that as people start selling off the ruble, they start buying other currencies like the dollar, the higher dollar, as well as the oil price drop, can lead to downward pressures on inflation. And, you know, that's certainly going to be a factor, I think, into what Chairman Yellen says here on Wednesday and how soon the Fed's going to be raising rates.
Right. In fact, it was interesting. There was a headline this morning that that came from a senior manager of a mid-sized bank in Russia, and he said, raising rates to 17%, that's the end of the banking system. So he was obviously very emotional, but things are very, very tough in Russia because of all this.
Well, that's true, and I think that, you know, Russia may be lurching towards that financial crisis reminiscent of its 1998 crash, because we've seen such a drop in the ruble. There's a lack of confidence right now in the currency. We're seeing people rushing towards other currencies, specifically the dollar, but also some of the other ones. This sharp drop in the ruble is leading to greater inflationary pressures over there. I mean, we've already seen how inflation in Russia has soared up to 9.4%, and probably is going to hit 10% by year end. And, you know, I think that that there is more possibility that the central bank will continue to hike the rates beyond 17%. And it doesn't help, of course, that Russia has significant sanctions against it, which may actually be accelerated, because that has powerful impacts on what Russia can import and also what it can export.
Now, there was a news announcement this morning. They thought that Putin might actually kind of raise the stakes in the Ukraine and put nuclear weapons there. Any word on Washington, D.C., what they're going to do about that if that happens?
Well, that's certainly unclear right now what would happen if in fact that did occur. But, you know, one of the things that we see much more now than we did in the Cold War is much greater interconnection of the global economies. In a way, you know, a lot of the most important weapons that we have are linked to currency stability, interest rates, and the linkages that we have in terms of trade. That's why the sanctions are a very important tool.
Do you see an end to this, or is this a game that's going to go on all year long between Russia and the United States and its allies regarding trying to knuckle Putin down? Or can this go on for a while?
I think that this could go on for a while. I think that one of the biggest concerns is also the fact that with a sharp drop in the ruble, we are also seeing situations where the Russian banks are going to have a much tougher time converting the refinancing their the loans that they have. I think that that's going to be a problem. They have over $600 billion.
Wow.
And I think that it's not helpful as well that we're dealing with not only this potential collapse in the Russian economy, but we're also seeing a reduction in growth in Eurozone countries, particularly, China, countries like France are trying to find ways to improve their economy. And the result is that we're seeing more and more a stronger dollar. And as I said, you know, stronger dollars may reduce our exports and they could increase our imports. And that's going to also have an impact, I think, on some of the nascent growth that we're seeing right now in the domestic manufacturing areas.
Yeah. And that's kind of interesting that you say that, because that's one of the places I wanted to go, because you hear on one side is that because consumers have more money to spend, that's really going to help manufacturing, that's going to help the consumer sector because oil prices are down and they're paying less at the pump. But on the other side of it, a stronger dollar could present a problem for us. And the other thing is, during the economic recession that we went through over the last several years, you know, the bright and shining light in the United States was the energy industry, and it created an awful lot of the jobs that were created. Certainly it created it in areas like Texas and Colorado and the oil states, but it also, just as a percentage of jobs created, a lot of them came from the energy industry. And it seems to me like with the industry really, I won't say collapsing, but going through a difficulty here, that could pose a problem in the future. I guess I tell you what, I'm getting near a break, so maybe I'll give you some time to think about that, because that's really one of the concerns that the average investor has. Do I invest in oil or for the long haul, or do I just stay away from it because it's gone for a while? So anyway, when we come back, folks, we've got Dr. Nayantara Hensel, professor of industry and business at the Industrial College of the Armed Forces. We'll be back in just a few moments. Stay with us.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Hi, welcome aboard Emirates. If you just follow me, I'll show you to your seat.
Namaste. Emirates mein aapka swagat hai. Baithiye.
Bonsoir. Je vous souhaite un très bon vol.
Hearing your own language can be a very comforting thing.
مرحبا. أهلا وسهلا. كيف حالك?
And with a multilingual crew from over 120 countries, flying Emirates is very comfortable indeed.
G'day. Welcome aboard Emirates. Let's get you settled in, okay?
And see what else sets us apart. With over 100 destinations worldwide and 300 international awards, we don't just say welcome aboard. We make you feel welcome aboard.
Thank you for flying Emirates. We hope you enjoy your flight.
For details or to book online, contact your local travel agent or visit emirates.com/USA. Fly Emirates. Keep discovering.
We were talking with our guest, Dr. Nayantara Hensel, just before the break. And Dr. Hensel, I kind of want to get back on that because the oil industry a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, was the darling of America because it was creating jobs, particularly in, for instance, North Dakota, South Dakota, you know, in areas where they were going into new shale plays. And it was really important in the job creation of America when you just couldn't find a job anywhere. Now, of course, a lot of those jobs are going to be given back in areas that were very vibrant. We're in Houston, which is we didn't feel the effects of the pullbacks that took place, in the real estate market or anywhere else, largely because of the strength of energy. Now, I guess I'm warning our listeners that we're probably entering our own little private recession down here. On balance, is it better that that oil is down, or does it need to be, you know, is there a median price up there somewhere where it just makes more sense for everybody?
Well, about 10% of our GDP is based on oil. And I think that we're going to definitely be seeing a sustained oil price drop, putting a chill certainly on new drilling. We're already seeing some of that. I mean, we've seen a decline in drilling permits issued in the U.S. Have dropped 36% between October and November. Now, again, it depends on how low oil prices fall and how long they're going to be low. For instance, there are some wells in South Texas that are profitable at prices of $30 a barrel, while the best in North Dakota's Bakken area can only withstand a drop of under $50 a barrel. So I think it depends upon, wells that are considered high grade versus ones that aren't. Wells considered high grade can withstand much lower prices. I think that, you know, we're also going to see situations where, you know, there's going to be fewer rigs. I think that in the nation's second most active oil region, we saw a peak of 210 rigs in July, and it's recently fallen already down to 190 rigs. And I think some of the smaller companies are going to have a particularly tough time. So, you know, we hear that oil price drops are going to lead to increases in consumer spending. It's true that we're going to have more money in our pocket, but the question is, are we going to have jobs? It goes beyond issues of jobs in the oil sector. It also goes to the overall uncertainty, I think, in the labor market. We've seen, I think, rather low labor market turnover in recent years because people are very uncertain about whether or not they can get a new job. And I think that, you know, we see this unemployment rate having dropped down to 5.8%, and it may drop down further, but does that really tell us that there's been an improvement in the labor market? You know, there are a lot of people who are taking part-time jobs when they would have liked to have had full-time jobs. There are situations where they're taking jobs that are not of the quality of the job that they held previously. There are situations also where people are just dropping out of the labor force because they have not found any opportunities to find a job, and they have another earner in the household, so they're just staying home. So I think that there's a lot of uncertainty there.
Oh, there is. There's a tremendous amount of uncertainty now. And one of the things that concerns me is two things. First of all, we finished with the QE, and I used to ask folks, you know, how we're going to get out of this, and it just seems like it's kind of gone away. We finished with the QE, but certainly oil prices, oil's dropping, has kind of taken the focus off of that. But we're still left with a massive deficit. Is that something we should be concerned about, and how are we going to deal with this?
Well, I think that reducing the federal debt and deficit has sort of gone off the very front page with what's happening with the Russian ruble and the oil price drop. But I think that a key question is, you know, right now we've had partial sequestration. This is per the bipartisan budget agreement from December 2013. It lessened the impact of sequestration. We had partial sequestration here in 2014 and 2015. But beginning in 2016, we're going to have full sequestration. And I know that there's a lot of concerns about the impacts that could have, particularly in Department of Defense. You know, Department of Defense is expecting to see, if there's full sequestration, another $52 billion cut each year annually through 2021. And this is on top of the $487 billion in defense cuts overall that we've seen over a 10-year period per the Budget Control Act. And that's going to definitely have an impact on defense manufacturing and also in our ability to keep equipment in good shape and to buy new equipment. Now, one of the things that could happen is in an effort to try to balance, defense spending, there may be, instead of a split between defense and non-defense, there may be a tendency to move money over from cuts over from non-defense and into defense. So I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do, but full sequestration is a very big issue.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's a really big issue. What about China? I just have to ask because, you know, there are people that feel like China is a looming danger out there. There are other ones that are saying, listen, it's got 7 to 7.5% growth. That may not be the 11 that it used to have, but it's still a really good number compared to the rest of us out there.
Well, I think that we really need to think about what it means for China to have slower growth, and can it drop further? I think that it's also I think that obviously it's going to be like India and Japan, a beneficiary of the oil price drop. So you know that's certainly helpful. But in general, we are starting to see slowdowns in China, and I think that this could have an impact. I think it could slide even further. And I would be concerned about that, although the biggest concern, I think, right now is Russia.
All right. So you don't – okay, so Russia is your main concern. What about the emerging markets? They're obviously going to be hurt. I assume they're going to be hurt by all this with the oil price dropping. Are they or are they not?
Well, we certainly will see that in some of the African countries that depend heavily on oil, Ghana and Nigeria, countries like that. I think some of the Middle Eastern countries too, like Saudi Arabia. I mean, this is a country that's definitely facing a blow to spending. I think that Saudi Arabia is the world's largest exporter. So, you know, at $60 a barrel, oil receipts account for about 85% of exports and 90% of fiscal revenue in 2013. So that can lead to a fiscal deficit equal to about 14% of GDP in 2015. So,
wow.
But on the other hand, it also has vast foreign exchange reserves, and that will help to offset some of the negative effects of some of the much lower oil prices. It's not helpful that we've had unrest, in the Arab area.
Yeah, well, that continues. That seems to be a lifelong thing, I think. I mean, it's although the tragedy in Pakistan yesterday was just unbelievable. You seem to be fairly calm about everything out there. Nothing seems to be worried. Are you worried about anything that you see on the economic front?
Oh, I'm still very concerned about the impact that we could see when full sequestration hits beginning 2016. I'm concerned about the labor market uncertainty because I think that that's going to make it tougher on consumers when they make a decision to buy. They're thinking, well, gosh, you know, am I going to be able to get a job? Am I going to be able to hold my existing job? I think that I'm also concerned about just the global things that we're seeing in terms of the Russian crisis and potential strong crisis, as well as the decline that we're seeing in the Eurozone area, the slowness in growth and the slowness that we're seeing in China. Because again, it's nice that we're having inflows of investors, into treasuries and pushing up pressures on the dollar. But on the other hand, a high dollar can really hurt manufacturing here in the U.S. because it'll be harder for us to export.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I know you're not a stock strategist, but do you think the market's too high?
I think that it's going to probably get some corrections going into next year. I think there will definitely be some corrections. There's a lot of optimism right now still about some of the statistics that we have seen in terms of consumer confidence and increased retail spending. But I think that, in the coming year, we're going to see some correction.
Oh, I think you're right. I would agree with you. Dr. Hensel, thank you so much for being with us today. I hope you have a happy holidays.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.